We are going to get into the Word. Why don't we open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1 as we continue on working through the book of Mark. And last week we ended in verse 34, so we're going to cover verses 35 through 39 today. Why don't we just read through it together and kind of get a feel for what's happening before we begin to kind of dissect this passage. Notice it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." Today we look at prayer and purpose. Now we're not going to have an exhaustive study on prayer. We're going to see today some principles of prayer to add to that as we go through this particular passage. If you remember where we left off last time, the Lord had been ministering in the synagogue. He'd been teaching the Bible, the Word of God, to the people. He had gone back home. He cast out demons there. He cast out demons at his house. He'd had a long day of ministry and serving the people. Now he goes back to have a rest. And so as we enter into this passage, we're going to start it out with him getting up the next day and having this time in prayer. And so I thought it would be appropriate for us to kind of look at this and to see, you know, how did the Lord pray? You know, the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And, you know, we all know how to pray to a degree. We all know that we talk to God and this kind of thing. But I think that understanding certain principles of prayer are important if we're going to be able to grow and mature in our prayer life. And so Jesus is the best example. Remember, in every avenue of life, Jesus was our example of how we're supposed to live. And so prayer is no different. So as we look at prayer, we want to look to the Lord and see exactly how the Lord prayed. Now, I want to lay a foundation before we get into this passage. And the first thing I want to talk about is, what is prayer? What is it? Well, in short, prayer is how we communicate with God. It's very basic, very simple, but it's how we communicate. And I want you to understand, God doesn't speak King James. There's nothing wrong in praying that way. I know that some people grew up that way, and they pray, "Oh, thee, Father, thou hast, whatever." And that's fine. There's nothing wrong in that. If that's how you grew up, and that's what you know, and you're sharing your heart with God, that's beautiful. King James language is beautiful, so don't get me wrong when I say that. But I only bring that up to make you realize that when we talk to God, you can talk just normal. You know, the Lord knows you. He hears you all day long. He knows your life. He knows how you are. And when you talk to him, you can just say, "Lord." Now, that doesn't mean we don't approach him with reverence and with respect in the proper way that we're to do. But at the same time, prayer is simply sharing our heart and pouring our heart out to God and saying, it's how we communicate. And because it's how we communicate, our prayer life will directly correspond to the level of intimacy that we have with the Lord. Let me put it to you this way. Think of it this way. Our relationship with our spouse or our children or our friends or anyone else is directly related and proportional to the time we spend with them and the time we communicate with them, is it not? And really, even more than just spending time with them, it's the time we communicate with them. If you want to know your wife well and your children well and your friends well, you're going to have to communicate. And it's no different when it comes to prayer. Prayer is the same way. If we're going to communicate with God, if we're going to be close to the Lord and be intimate, we need to realize that we have to communicate. So that's what prayer is. It's that avenue, that door that God has opened up and said, "Now, you can approach me. I will hear you. Let's talk." And so you spend time together. Secondly, what we need to know about prayer is what it is not. That's a basic definition of prayer, but what prayer is not. Biblical prayer, note this, is not getting our will done, but it's finding out the will of the Father and asking God to work that through us. Now, does this mean that we can't take our request to the Lord? No, the Bible says, make your requests known to God. So we're to pour out our hearts. We're to pour out our requests. But as we pour out our hearts and as we pour out our requests, we need to be praying, "Now, Lord, show me what your heart is in this. Show me your will." And, you know, as we pray, oftentimes, even without saying, "Show us your will," God begins to turn our heart, doesn't he? As you spend time with the Lord, he begins to reveal to you what his will is. And a lot of times, the way a prayer starts out is not the way a prayer ends. And so understand, when it comes to prayer, it is something that we are doing to get in tune with God and what God wants to do in our lives and through us, rather than what we want God to do. Jesus said in Luke 22:42, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now, that's probably the best example of pouring out your heart of what you want, but then saying, "Lord, I yield to what you want and you know is best." So the Lord made his request. He said, "If this cup can pass from me," he poured his heart out. He shared what his desire was. That's okay. But then he said, "You know what? If I'm missing the mark here, don't do it." What a great way to pray. You know, how many people have said, "You know what? I prayed and prayed, God, let me marry that one." And they said, years later, "I prayed and prayed, Lord, thank you that I didn't marry that one." You know, we don't know God's will. We don't know God's highest. And so it's best for us simply to pray and to leave it in God's hands. And there's also a confidence that comes with praying in the will of God. Now, I know you're not always going to know the will. You're going to say, Pastor Mark, how do we always know the will of God? We don't. So we lay everything out there, and then we say, now, God, you direct in what your will is. But it's interesting, when we do know the will of God, there's great confidence in our prayer. And we see this in 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15, where it says this, now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So if we're praying according to his will and we know we are, there's great confidence in that prayer. Let me give you an example. The Bible says that God desires that none perish, which means when you bring your family and friends to the Lord and you pray for God to draw them to yourself, to open their eyes, that is a prayer that's going to get God's attention. How do we know that? It's his will. We can pray with confidence that it is his will. But now you're probably saying, but Pastor Mark, I've done that. My family hasn't come to the Lord, and maybe some even died, and I never was assured that they knew the Lord before that. Understand, God is faithful to draw them. He'll answer the prayer to draw them to himself, but God forces no one into the kingdom of God. And this is where those that we pray for, their choice comes into play. They have a choice. Are they going to choose Jesus Christ or reject him? And if they don't choose him, if they say, I don't want the Lord, then God's not going to force them to be saved. So don't simply take a no answer as God not hearing your prayer. As we've said before, sometimes God says no. He says yes, he says no, and he says wait. And oftentimes when he says no, it's not that he's not been working, he's been faithful. I guarantee you, if you say, God, draw my family to you, he's going to do that. I guarantee you. He's going to begin to move by his spirit to do that. But here's the clincher. Now we need to also pray. Now, Lord, when you do it, soften their hearts so they'll let you draw them to you because they have a free choice. You see, love demands a choice. And without a choice, there is no love. So God gives them the choice. He doesn't force himself on them. And therefore, we don't always see our family come to the Lord through that because they've made a choice. But don't be discouraged that your prayer has not been heard and that God has not acted on it. Now, we've seen what prayer is. We've seen what prayer is not in very basic definitions. Now I want to look at what is the result of prayer. Again, what is the result of prayer? Well, let me tell you three things that are the result of prayer. Number one, intimacy with God. Number two, power to live for God. And thirdly, finding our purpose before God. Note that. Intimacy in that we develop a deeper relationship with God through prayer. Power in that we are continually being filled with his spirit through prayer as we spend that time with him. And purpose in that we hear his voice and his leading so that we have clear direction through prayer. So note that. You'll become more intimate with the Lord. You will become more powerful for the Lord, and you will have a clearer direction of what it is God wants you to do. How many of us have said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. You know, right now, just serve him and seek him until he reveals that. And so these are the things that we find through prayer, and these are the things we're going to see that happen in Jesus' life today as we look at prayer. Now, with that said, there's something else I want to say before we get into the passage, and that is this. We also need to make sure at this point that we understand God's grace in prayer. Now, what do I mean by God's grace in prayer? Simply this. There's something about being encouraged to get into the Word and being encouraged to get in prayer or being encouraged to serve that in our nature, we have this idea that we need to earn something. If I don't pray enough, God won't be happy. If I don't stay in the Word enough, God won't be satisfied. If I don't serve enough, I'm not going to earn my favor with God. Understand, the Bible says you are in favor with God simply by the fact that you have given your life to Christ. Your sins are forgiven. It is by grace that we're saved through faith. And it is the grace of the Lord that he pours out in this that really we need to focus on, that underlying factor of grace. You know, the reason I say this is that, number one, I don't want to discourage any of you that feel in your heart right now the pull to pray more. As I say this, some of you are saying, you know what, Pastor Mark, I realize my prayer life is not that good and I need to pray more. And that's good. I mean, I think it's good to be encouraged to pray more, but never be driven to pray more because you feel you need to do it to please God. You've already pleased God. By receiving Jesus Christ as Lord, he is pleased. Let me ask you another question to really drive the point home when it comes to grace. In other words, prayer is a privilege. It's not a work. It is a privilege. God didn't say, no, you need to pray this much and you better pray or you're not a good little boy. God said, I've opened the doors to the throne room of the universe, to all creation. I'm inviting you in. Come let me know what you have to say. How exciting when we have the proper perspective that it's a privilege and not a work or something we're trying to earn. You know, I can't even get in to see the president. How about you? Now, we joke about that, but think about it. If I was to go, I'm going to Washington next month for a couple days, and if I was to go to the White House and just try to get up there to knock the door, they would throw cuffs on me. You know, they'd put me in jail. Why? Because you just can't get to see the president like that. But the bottom line is, who's much greater than the president? Our God, the president is nothing compared to God Almighty. And yet God says, simply enter into the throne room and speak with me, talk with me. And so we have this privilege and this honor to be able to go to God in prayer and to lay out our prayers before Him. This great privilege, this great honor. And it's not a matter of getting brownie points or gaining favor. Now, to really drive the point, let me illustrate this. If you never prayed again, let me ask you this. Do you think there's anything you can do in your life to make God love you more or to make you in better favor with the Lord? There's not. And some of you probably come from a background where you feel like there's a certain achievement you have to attain. If you're going to be in the favor with God, you need to be. No, you have attained God's favor by His Son. And again, to illustrate this further, let me say this. If you never prayed again, if you never read the Bible again, if you never went to church again, if you never ever sought to serve the Lord again, ever, God would love you just as much. Is that not exciting or what? You're in the kingdom. It's done. It is finished, He said from the cross. It's all been paid. Now, you'll be a weak Christian, and you're not going to be a usable Christian, but you're going to be just as loved, and you're going to be just as much in God's favor. And that is so important as we look at this today, because again, the reason I'm stressing this point is because oftentimes, again, when it comes to looking at prayer, there can be that compelling that we have that makes us feel like it's something we have to earn. Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, "For the love of Christ compels me." The love of Christ compels us. In other words, why do we want the Lord? Why do we seek the Lord? Why do we desire to serve the Lord and make Him our own? It is because of His love for us and because of His incredible love, we're motivated now to do that. But not because we have to earn His favor or do the right, you know, to-do list, so to speak, to make God happy. The motivation is love and grace that comes with that. So that's important to lay as a groundwork before we get into this, because now as we get into this passage, we're going to see the example that Jesus set. And I do believe there are biblical principles here in order to have an effective prayer life, and we need to understand the foundation of grace before we jump into it. So let's just begin to look at it. Notice verse 35. It says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." As I said, Jesus in all things is our example. So the first thing we want to notice here when it came to Jesus' prayer life is he started his day with prayer. Note that. The first thing the Lord did, if you want to take notes on that, is he started with prayer. And I encourage you to do that. Now again, we'll see in a moment that the Lord did spend a certain amount of time. It doesn't tell us how long specifically, but it's not the amount of time in prayer that I want to emphasize here. That'll grow in our relationship with the Lord as God works in our heart. The key is, are we spending time in prayer to start our day? You know, I want to encourage you. The first thing I try to do before I get my day going is just pray to the Lord and say, "God, I give you today. I give it to you. Lord, it's yours. Do with me as you want. Fill me with your Spirit and use me for your glory." And so it's a principle that Scripture lays out through all the Bible. It's starting the day in prayer. And so again, I think it's something that as the Lord has given us that example, we need to recognize. Now, secondly, Jesus knew that any success he would have before the Father each day would always come through prayer. So note this truth about prayer. And that is, any success we're going to have as believers in our day is going to be truly directed through prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, if we miss our prayer time, we're not going to have a good meeting, or things aren't going to go well with our wife or husband. I'm talking about in the spirit realm. In Ephesians, it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities in heavenly places. So what the Scripture teaches us is as we step out of our house, we're stepping into a battleground. And so we need to be prepared for that. And the way that Jesus was prepared for that was he prayed to begin the day, and he realized that he needed that prayer time if he was going to be ready for the battle and have success in the spirit realm that he needed to have. So there's the success part of it. Next, notice, thirdly, he rose a long while before daylight. Literally, the word morning means the last watch. And the Romans broke their days up in four different watches. And the last watch of the day was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So it doesn't tell us what time he got up specifically. It does say it was between 3 and 6 a.m. And again, it was during that last watch. He adds that it was a long while before daylight. But again, I don't want to emphasize the time that he got up as much as the reason that he got up. And that is that he realized he needed this time because it was the only way that he could be alone with the Lord. And that is the next point I want to bring up with you about prayer. If we're going to be successful in prayer, we need to have a time we can get alone with the Lord. We have to have a time where we're not having all the interruptions. And morning is a great time to do that. Again, this is not something we legalistically follow or whatever. The point is the scripture does lay out that the morning time is the example we're given as far as prayer. Not only in Jesus here, but what did David say? He said, Lord, I will rise early in the morning and give you praise and shout your name. So there's this principle in there of that time in the morning. And I think the reason he does that, there's a couple of reasons I want to note within that. One is, it's the only way that Jesus could be alone and pray without the constant attention of the disciples in the crowds. And oftentimes, it's the only way that we can be alone without the constant attention. We may not have the crowds or disciples, but I know I've got four little girls, and they like to get up pretty early, too. And I've found that if I'm at home, and I don't get up before those little rascals do, then I don't really have much of a prayer time, because they need daddy. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong in that. But I think there's a principle here, and that is the Lord knew. He said, if I stay here with all of my guys, remember he called them his children. He said, if I stay here with the kids, man, there's just no way. I'm not going to be able to do anything. So he realized that he needed to be alone. He had to get alone. And so there's that other factor to coming to prayer, and that is we need to make sure that we get alone somewhere. You know, if you're not alone, there's going to be easy ways to interrupt you. And I encourage you, wherever you get alone and however you get alone, you know, turn off the cell phone. Because it's amazing, your phone's going to start ringing, I guarantee you. You know, if you hadn't been called in a while, nobody calls me, nobody loves me, just pray for a minute. Everybody will love you, and everybody will call. It's an amazing truth, you know, it's one of those Murphy's Laws or whatever things, I don't know what they are, but the point is that's just how it works. And I don't know about you, but if I wait to start my day, you know, we talk about the morning. Again, you can pray anytime through the day, and we should pray through the day. But here's what I found about, you know, when the scripture encourages us to the morning, keeps encouraging us to the morning, there's a reason for that, because God knows that that is a time where we can be alone, and it's a time where we can be uninterrupted. As I said, a lot of times you have the interruptions that come in many different ways, but if I wait too late to start my day with the Lord, I often find that the opportunity to get in the Word and pray is completely gone. And why? Well, because, you know, as the heat of the day gets going and all the activities and the phone starts ringing and all the thoughts that I think I'm going to need to do, you know, God's word and prayer just seems to melt away. I've got stuff to do. Let's get going. Stuff to do. But you know what I found? I found that even when I'm the busiest, if I will set aside a time to seek the Lord, God will multiply my productivity in getting that done. And I think the Lord does that, really, I think, as an encouragement for us. I think because he says, all right, I know you're busy. I know there's no way you think you can take the time out to pray, but try me on it. Set aside time to pray and watch what I'll do. And I found that when I do that, even when I feel crunched and maybe I've slept in, I didn't pray and I'm, oh, I didn't pray. And oh, I'm so busy today. And already I'm grumpy because I hadn't started my day right or whatever. And then the day gets going and it's going crazy. There have been times where I had such a list of things to do. And I'm like, I've got to get all this done. And then I'll hear God's voice. You need to get alone and pray. And I'm thinking, I don't have time. There's this big list, and that's probably me saying that. It's probably guilt. Guilt's telling me to do that. Lord, you wouldn't be asking me. And I'll hear it again. Get alone and pray. And I think, all right, maybe that is you, Lord. And so I get alone and pray. I put stops on everything. I just shut everything down, turn phones off, just get alone, whatever. And then when I leave that time, I find out not only am I built up and encouraged in the Lord, God gets everything done much quicker than I could have had I not prayed. It's an amazing spiritual phenomena. And it's true. And I don't want to paint some picture like I'm some great prayer warrior. I am not. There are men who have been throughout history. I am not. But I do know the benefits of prayer, and I've seen how God has used that in my life. But we do need to set aside that time and make sure that we're alone so that we can do that. You know, it's interesting. Manna in Scripture is a type of God's word. Now, where do we see that? Remember they were saying, show us a sign, Jesus. Show us a sign. They said, you know, Moses gave manna from heaven. What are you going to do? He said, I am the manna that came down from heaven. He said, I am that bread that came down from heaven. He just gave you the physical bread. I am the spiritual bread. I am your life. I am everything. What I find interesting about that is notice what it says here in Exodus 16:21, and you can jot that down for later if you want. It says, so they gathered the manna every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. You remember the story. The manna would come down, and then they would go out in the morning, they would gather the manna. God was supernaturally feeding them while they were in the wilderness. But note this. He said, if you don't go get the manna in the morning, the sun will melt it away. And that's exactly what I find in my life. If I don't go after the manna and the prayer in the morning, the phones start ringing, the life gets going, and the next thing you know, I don't even have it. Now, this is where we need the balance. Remember, it's not some rule. Well, God's not going to hear your prayer if it's not in the morning. And you're doing bad if it's not in the morning. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God is saying. God is giving us the principle of morning prayer because he knows that that is what works best. You know, there's something about the morning. There's a quiet to the morning that you just can't find in the rest of the day. Have you noticed that? It's kind of like when it snows. You know, it doesn't just snow much here at all. Matter of fact, hardly ever. And, you know, if it does, if they predict a snowflake, all the shelves empty out in Food City and everything, you know, because we want it so bad. I think we want to believe it's going to happen. But you ever lived in a place where it did snow? And you know, it's like late in the evening and it's snowing and you go out for a walk and there's no cars. You're in a place where there's no traffic or whatever. You know that quiet? Isn't it beautiful? There's kind of just a crunch under your feet. It's like, this is great. You can just stand there and soak and say, God, you're so good. See, mornings are like that. It's almost as if God has created the mornings where this still and there's a hush over wherever your morning is. And it's a moment. It's almost like a holy moment that God has said, this is a time. If you want to hear me the best, you can hear me the best. You can hear him all through the day. You can. But there's something special about that morning time. And I think that God has ordained it because he encourages us all through the scriptures to seek that time when we can be alone with the Lord. Another reason I believe he rose a long while before daylight is because, again, it was the only really quiet part of his day. We talked about what a quiet time that was, and we even used the term quiet time. But, you know, once the Lord's day got started, I mean, there were lots of interruptions. And so he knew that he needed to take advantage of that. But now note this here. The next thing I want you to note about prayer is that we need to find a solitary place. Notice it says that the Lord went to a solitary place and there he prayed. I have the word there circled in my Bible. Why? Because I found that even if I get up early or do this or I set aside time or I do whatever to pray, you know what? Sure enough, I'll be up in the house and Cindy Lou Who will hear the Grinch down there in the living room and come down and go, Daddy, you know, and like, you know. And I realized I can't pray now. You know, the little, you know, ball rolled and hit the bed and they woke up or whatever. And so now it's like, so here's what I found that I need to do. And this was interesting to me to see how the Lord did this. I found that out of necessity, sometimes I've got to just leave. Sometimes I have to just say, I'm going to turn this off and I'm driving to a new location. Because I realize that if I stay in this location, I'll never be able to get alone with the Lord. I encourage you to do that. There may be a place or a time where you have to say, you know what? If I'm going to be alone with the Lord, I'm going to have to sneak off and do it because it's the only way I'm going to be able to find that solitary time in that solitary place. Principle, you know, getting alone. It's important. Now, another thing I want you to notice about prayer, here's another principle. Again, as I mentioned these principles, these are not things that, again, you're not pleasing God if you don't do. We keep that whole undergirding of grace here in the midst of this. But another thing I notice about the Lord in this is that although the Lord had had an extremely hard day that went well into the night, he still felt that it was important enough to get up in the morning and pray again before he started his next day. Now that one bust me. You know, I don't know about you, but if I've had a long day, you know what I'm thinking about? Sleeping in. And there's nothing wrong in sleeping in. I think that's good. We need to have our rest. But you know what? There are times in our life when God may call on us to say, you know what? You need to seek me. You need to seek me. Remember Peter and James and John, they were in the garden. And this was one of those times the Lord was going out the next day to do some ministry. He needed God's power, although he had a hard day the day before. And so same thing with when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Peter and James and John, and they're there sleeping. And the Lord came back and said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? Now that one's one to make us feel guilty, isn't it? Oh. And yet that wasn't the Lord's point. God wasn't saying, look, you're failing because you're not praying long enough and you're praying at the right time and you're failing. That wasn't the point of that statement. The point was, is you know what? There's a lot of spiritual attack about to happen and you need to be ready whether you're tired or not. And I find there are certain times when we realize that the attack is extra heavy. Yes, there's nothing wrong. You need to sleep. And at least one day a week, you need to have that time, I believe, where you just kind of lay around and do nothing. I think there's a Sabbath day rest principle there for healthy bodies. But you know, there may be a day or two where you realize I've got a real tough day ahead of me and I had a real long night. I'm still going to seek the Lord. And you know what? When you do that and God calls you to do that and you have to do that, God gives the strength. There's a rejuvenating power. So one of the next principles, again, if you're taking note about prayer, is that with prayer comes a rejuvenating power, not only spiritually, but physically as well. God will give us the strength that we need. And so if God calls us to that place of prayer and even wakes us up in the night and says, I want you to come and seek me, don't be afraid to do it because you're going to lose sleep because sometimes that's God's way of strengthening you for what's coming up the next day and God will give you what you need in that place. And again, you'll know those times when they happen. God will make that clear. But the next principle I want to point out here in this verse that the Lord attributed to prayer is that he made prayer a priority. He made prayer a priority. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, with the day that he had before, it would have been easy to say, you know what, it was such a hard day, I don't need to pray for tomorrow. And again, it wasn't based on earning favor with the Father. It was based on the need that he knew he would have. And so what did he do? He said, you know what? My priorities are so high that even if I do need to rearrange my schedule some, I'm going to make sure that I get time alone with the Father. And that's challenging to us. Have we rearranged our schedule? See, some of you right now are saying, but Pastor Mark, you don't know my life. You don't know my schedule. It is impossible to have time away just to pray. And I especially understand with you moms and you've got the little ones or whatever, but you know, there are creative ways. With moms during the day, you know, you run to the restroom a little bit longer, you know. Matter of fact, you might even try that and say you're praying, you know. Mom, it's been an hour, still praying, you know. And just, y'all do whatever, you know, and get a break. I'm just kidding. But the point is that there are creative ways as we seek the Lord to spend that time with him and to seek his face. And the Lord made it a priority. I think that we need to make prayer a priority. And so we look at our schedule and say, I'm too busy. You know what? I say it's too important not to do it. And so because we're so busy, we need to make sure we set aside that time. Again, God will bless that. God will multiply it. And we need to make it a priority. So the Lord does that. And he prayed. Notice verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Now, interesting, the word searched here literally means they tracked him down with great intensity. Now, I can understand why for a couple of reasons. Number one, remember the night before there were crowds outside the door, you know, just probably all hours of the evening. Trying to get alone with God and trying to get alone rather with the Lord and be touched by him. And so, you know, if you heard that somebody was in town and they were able to heal, you'd get over to that house too. And you'd want to be the first one in line. And so no doubt, you know what happened first thing in the morning. The crowd began to gather. And the disciples were probably awakened to the noise of the crowd gathering at the front door saying, oh man, here we go again. It was like such a short night's sleep and they're already out there again. And here it goes. Jesus, you know, why don't you go up? Jesus, Lord, where are you? And he's gone. Well, now what are they going to do? They don't know what to do with the crowds. And so they start desperately looking. Oh, just stay right here, guys. We'll get our guy. He'll be back in just a minute. You know, and they go looking for him. And there's this sense of desperation there in the language of got to find the Lord. I've got to find him. And I love it because it shows this desperation as this crowd is gathering out there. But I find it interesting that Jesus wasn't as concerned that they find him right away. Now, don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean that the Lord is not going to hear us the moment we pray and the moment we cry out. He doesn't want to reach out to us. But there are times that God makes us wait in finding him and even hearing an answer to a prayer or hearing his voice for God's specific reasons. And you know, the reason here was, I think he was teaching the disciples, you know what? Don't depend on me, depend on the Father. And although Jesus was God and we depend on Jesus, it was a principle they needed to learn. You know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've been with people, and especially, you know, new believers, and they'll get in a real desperate situation and something's going on in their life and they're trying to find me or they're trying to find Tony or they're trying to find one of the elders or whatever and they can't find us. And I'll run into them later and they say, man, I was looking for you so desperately. I had this horrible situation. I couldn't find you anywhere. I tried your cell phone. I tried your home. I tried this. I did everything. You know, I crawled over. I was on a ladder looking in your window. No, it hadn't gone that far yet. But the bottom line is trying to find me, and there's some reason they couldn't, and they begin to share. You know, I say, well, what happened? I say, well, you know, I just began to pray, and I began to pray, and God was so good. He brought this person. He did this thing, and he did that thing. And do you see what God is teaching them? There's nothing wrong in going to your pastor or anyone else for counsel. That's biblical. The Bible says to do it. But what God was teaching was, you can cry out to me, and I will respond. You can cry out to heaven. I'll make sure you're taken care of. And so it's a lesson we need to learn. And I think that the Lord wanted them to kind of sweat a little bit, to wait a little bit. Lord, where are you? You know, even like in the storm, when the storm was so bad and they thought they were going to die and they had to wake him up. Remember, he was getting some rest there in the boat. And I think it's good for us to realize, you know what? God sometimes makes us wait, but he's never too late. And so there's this panic and this looking for him, but it's good for us because it drives us to prayer and it drives us to the Lord and it teaches us. I guarantee you, you know, later on they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. I guarantee you that taught him to pray a little bit. You know, where are you? God, help us find him. Where is he? God, help us find him. You know, they were already praying. It can be a very healthy thing for us in those situations. Now, notice this, verse 37, when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Now, I love this. I think maybe a little bit of exaggeration going on here. You know, the word everyone doesn't mean just those that were like around this area. It means everyone in the world. It's a word that means all inclusive. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. Where have you been? You know, type thing. And again, you can just hear the desperation in their voice when they say that everyone's looking. Everyone wasn't looking. They were looking, and some of the other people were looking. But this is what's neat about the priority of the Lord. He realized, although everyone is looking for me, the most important thing is that I spend time with the Father first. What an important principle when it comes to prayer. You may have a lot of people looking for you. You may have a lot of people that are under you at work, that you are a boss to, or a lot of people that you deal with, or a lot of things going on, kids. I mean, it goes down to every level. But you know what? To be able to handle that properly, we need that time with the Lord. And if they don't find us right away, that's okay. God will do the work he needs to do. I love it. The Lord didn't really even respond to it. He says, everyone's looking for you. Notice verse 38. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns. He kind of ignores it. You know, just, yeah, it's all right. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come. And this is really the last principle to apply to prayer. And that is this. It will help us find our purpose. What it is that we are called to do will come through prayer. Notice the Lord said after this time of prayer where he was with the Father, he said, you know what? I know what it is I'm supposed to do. I need to go to these villages and share. And now I have found my purpose. And so we see in the principles here as we finish today, these principles of prayer that are so important. Again, I reiterate this foundation of grace. That it's not by what we do and it's not by how long we spend or whatever that God loves us. He loves you. He's paid the price for you. Everything is done. And yet there's this privilege of prayer that comes with it. Now, what are some of the principles as we recap and kind of look at it? Remember, Jesus started his day in prayer. And he took advantage of the morning because it was a time when he could have that quiet and a time when he could be away from the crowds. Notice also he went to a deserted place where he could be alone. So finding that place, not only the time, but finding the place where we can get alone and pray. And then through that, we find our purpose and what is it God wants us to do. You know, God wants us to be men and women of prayer. That's what God desires. And here's why God desires it. Not so that we can say we are, not so that we've attained some level where we can think that we're now spiritual. No, because he loves us. Why is it that we want to spend time with our wife? Why is it that we want to spend time with our husband? Why is it that we want to spend time with our children or our best friends? It's because we want to get to know them. We want to be intimate and we want to share our lives. That's the purpose of prayer, sharing your life with the God of the universe. I want to pray today and ask him to help us to do that. Let's lift it up to the Lord and ask him to do that in our heart. Let's pray. Lord, that is my prayer this morning. That is our prayer this morning. God, that you would make us men and women of prayer. Lord, we realize that unless we make it a priority, it probably is not going to happen. And that is, Lord, we need to find that place we can pray. We need to find that time we can pray. We need to find, Lord, the heart to pray. And Lord, we know that in the midst of that, we're going to find your heart. There's going to be that intimacy. There's going to be that power. And Lord, there's also going to be that direction that we need for life. And so I pray, God, that by your grace and by your mercy, you would make us men and women of prayer. Lord, we look to you today and we ask that you would do it. Father, fill us fresh today and let us leave here rejoicing in you and, Lord, learning to live our lives as people of prayer. Lord, even just throughout the day, not just that time we set aside, but, Lord, living our life as a life of prayer before your throne simply because we want to know you, Lord. We want to be close to you and we want to be intimate with you. And we thank you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.